Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, short-barreled shotguns and violent felonies edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 5th, 2014, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Johnson v. United States. This case concerns whether mere possession of a short-barreled shotgun should be treated as a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act. To discuss the case, we have Richard Myers, who is the Henry Brandis Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of North Carolina School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Myers.
The Supreme Court, in a case decided last week, had to determine whether or not simple possession of a short-barrel shotgun qualifies as a violent felony under the Federal Armed Career Criminal Act. The Armed Career Criminal Act provides enhanced sentences for felons who possess a firearm after having been convicted of three prior violent felonies. To decide whether a specific state felony counts as a violent felony, the Congress has done two things. Congress first defined specific felonies that qualified: burglary, arson, extortion, or the use of explosives, and then added what's been called the residual clause. The residual clause added any felony that has, as an element, the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another. Any felony that involves conduct that presents a serious potential risk of injury also qualifies. The question in this case was whether or not possession of a short-barrel shotgun created such a serious potential risk of injury. The defendant in the case, Mr. Johnson, was found to have possessed a short-barrel shotgun and confessed doing so to an agent from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Given his prior record, he faced a 15-year sentence as a result of possessing that shotgun as his third prior predicate felony. The court was grappling with whether or not simple possession of a sawed-off shotgun should qualify as a violent felony. In Sykes v. United States, the last case in which the court attempted to determine what qualified under the Armed Career Criminal Act, the court stated, "We employ the categorical approach. Under this approach, we look only to the fact of conviction and the statutory definition of the prior offense and do not generally consider the particular facts disclosed by the record of conviction. That is, we consider whether the elements of the offense are of the type that would justify its inclusion within the residual provision, without inquiring into the specific conduct of this particular offender." Justice Scalia, dissenting in Sykes, argued that the residual clause should be held void for vagueness. He argued that the court's prior decisions had been unable to decide on a single principle which would allow reasonable people in advance to decide whether or not the law would apply to them. However, his vagueness contentions had no traction in Sykes. By the time we get to Johnson, those vagueness concerns have risen again to the forefront. During oral argument, the public defender who was representing Mr. Johnson grappled with two separate questions. First, she argued that simple possession by itself cannot constitute a crime of violence. Second, she grappled with the use of statistics in trying to determine whether or not simple possession could qualify as sufficiently similar in risk to crimes such as burglary. The court was also grappling with an additional question, the analytical difficulty of determining which weapons might be sufficiently dangerous in and of themselves to constitute violent felonies. On the government side is the claim that all possession of weapons poses a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. That is, simply put, if a felon is possessing a firearm, that creates the necessary risk. On the defense side was a response that while there are some weapons that might create that risk of harm simply by possessing them, for example, chemical or biological agents, mere possession of a short-barrel shotgun does not. An amicus brief filed by representatives of gun owners showed the court that thousands of Americans do legally possess short-barrel shotguns, firearms which are designed to have a stock with a barrel length of less than 18 inches and an overall length of less than 26 inches. Many millions of Americans also possess a revolver or semi-automatic pistol in a caliber for which shot shells are available. So if it's simply the size and conformation of the firearm, it's a difficult claim to make that simple possession does inherently create that risk. Going forward, the court's going to have to determine whether or not it wants to continue to engage in this case-by-case analysis of the myriad state crimes that might qualify under the Armed Career Criminal Act. While it's entirely possible they may want to continue to do so, the lack of notice that this provides to defendants in state courts is becoming rapidly clear. It's going to be impossible to tell from listening to the podcast of the court's arguments where this is going to come out. Justice Scalia has decided that he believes this is an unconstitutionally vague statute. Justice Alito seemed to be grappling for a principle that would help him to decide future cases, as was Justice Kagan and Justice Breyer. Given the difficulties that arise from basing its claim simply on the size and shape of the firearm, the government was unable to show convincingly at oral argument why a short-barrel shotgun was sufficiently different in kind from other guns to create a category by itself. The prosecutor suggested deference to state legislatures, but that claim seemed unconvincing because, as the defense was able to point out, in most states, one can, with appropriate registration, purchase, register, and possess a short-barreled shotgun without creating a danger to others. In fact, at one point, the Chief Justice suggested that the prosecutor had significantly undercounted the number of people who do lawfully and safely possess short-barreled shotguns. It's going to be very interesting to see how the court comes out in this case. The court's recent Second Amendment jurisprudence suggests that it is grappling with how to accommodate lawful firearm ownership on the one hand and the state's rights to legislate against dangerous firearm use on the other. Additionally, the court has had four cases in a row under the Armed Career Criminal Act where it's been unable to discern a principle that will allow it to decide these cases in a predictable way. Perhaps this fifth case will be the one in which they are able to decide on a controlling precedent that allows lower courts to appropriately apply the Armed Career Criminal Act. Let's hope so.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.